Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Monday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The Lakers are back to their losing ways. They drop a game to Cleveland, 114 to 100 on Sunday. A lot to unpack. We'll do it next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts. Always free, never behind a paywall. Please make another Locked On podcast your second listen of every day, but only, of course, after making us your first. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to get the show a little bit early, whether it's an afternoon game, as it was on Sunday, or on non-game days. You tend to see the product a little bit earlier than just waiting for the audio. We appreciate everybody's support there with the Locked On Lakers YouTube channel. Andy, it seemed a few days ago that there was a sense of optimism creeping in with this Lakers bunch that maybe, just maybe, after the Lakers won two in a row, it was getting better, a glint of hope. This weekend was not good for that. This weekend was very bad for that. And Sunday, 114 to 100 loss to Cleveland at the Crypt. The latest example.
Yeah, they're just the offensive woes that the Lakers have dealt with all season, that it felt like either they were turning a corner offensively or had found just enough balance, you know, in a lot of ways boosted by Russ coming off the bench and really galvanizing that unit and kind of decluttering the lack of fit between him and LeBron in the starting unit. They've regressed in a lot of ways. And we'll talk about this. I think against Utah and then especially against Cleveland without Patrick Beverley, who was sick for this game, there's been a flu bug or some type of bug that's been going around the team. LeBron's dealt with it. AD's dealt with it. I think JTA has dealt with it. But Patrick Beverley couldn't play in this game. He's not traveling with the team to Utah. But against a team like Cleveland that is so backcourt dynamic, and Kendrick Nunn got the start in place of Patrick Beverley, and to put it mildly, did nothing to make his case for getting back into the rotation. This was not a carpe diem moment for Kendrick Nunn. You started seeing how there's this pressure on them defensively that I think is starting, we'll talk about this, is starting to weigh on them in the face of just not having a consistent, reliable offense.
I agree with you. And it was particularly striking in the first half, like where you look through the stats and, you know, the Lakers weren't shooting the ball well from three. But neither was Cleveland, and the Lakers had more field goals, and the turnovers were reasonably under control or whatever. And on Sunday, it was the free throws. And Mitchell and Garland basically lived at the line. Mitchell shot 13 free throws. Garland shot 7. And Jared Allen got there 6 times. The Lakers, because the offense is so inconsistent, because they can't shoot threes and they struggle to get to the line. Sunday they lost at the free throw line. Like that was the difference in the game. And, because the Lakers were 8 of 27 from three, and that's not good, but the Cavs were 8 of 32. So the Lakers were actually tied in terms of points generated by three pointers. The Lakers had 40 field goals to Cleveland's 37. The difference, like I said, Cleveland got to the line 36 times. They made 32, so they were plus 15 in free throw attempts, and they were a staggering plus 20 in free throw conversions. And I mentioned that last part because it gets to what you're talking about. The offense has such a small margin for error that if you take away, one category, they had to compensate somewhere else. They didn't compensate with three-point shooting on Sunday, and they certainly didn't compensate with making their free throws when they had a chance. And the result is Cleveland runs away in ways that the Lakers can't compete with. And I you saw Andy, like LeBron, there was, I think, some palpable frustration from LeBron after the game about the way the offense is operating. There was, I think, frustration from Darvin Ham about how the Lakers are reacting to the third quarter, for example, when they only scored 16 points, that their inability to put up points is beginning to weigh on them. That is hurting them defensively. I don't, unfortunately, see a lot of easy solutions to this problem.
You know, Darvin talked about guys afterwards, their heads start to hang a bit when the shots aren't going down. He said that the spirit left the team in the second half. And the problem for this team is the shots don't go down a lot, which means they really have to fight that urge a lot.
They need a deep reservoir of spirit, Andy.
Well, I mean, we're only in game 9. Like, and it feels like there is a tone being set for this team. I don't even necessarily mean in terms of losing their spirit. I mean a tone being set of this is what we are going to have to fight through every damn game. And by the way, we're already 5 games below 500, 9 games in.
Right. Going into a game on Monday on the second night of a back-to-back against a Utah team that continues to play very well. And so, you could see it too. Like, some of it is spirit, but some of it, and we're going to talk about Anthony Davis and LeBron and Russ and the inability through these 7 games to figure out a way to get everybody kind of working at the same time. Like, it seems like Anthony Davis starts really strong, fades in the fourth quarter. No fourth quarter points on Sunday, correct? I'm not missing something.
Oh, we'll go deeper into that. Not only are you correct, it goes much more broad than this game alone. But
right. And this is a problem going back to last season. The inability of Anthony Davis to be a big part of the offense in fourth quarter.
But this, what we're about to get into.
LeBron
this is stark.
Has started games horribly and sometimes picks it up and finishes well. I don't mean to pin this on Russ, because there is a limit, I think, to what you can expect from Russ throughout a game. And his second half statistically wasn't great on Sunday. He got very little help from people who could have generated more assists for him, but the production in terms of counting stats was front loaded on Sunday. But there's also,
other than LeBron, so was everybody's.
Correct. We'll get into all of this stuff, but there is a mechanical thing going on here. And you saw it particularly in the second half against Cleveland. The Cavs just, nobody has any interest in moving out on the perimeter to give the Lakers spaced opera. So they're just like, oh, shoot, fine, we don't care. And the Lakers, to their credit, are not trying to get jumper happy. They're going to be like, no, we're going to get aggressive. We're going to try to drive the ball to the basket, except you're driving into walls. You're driving into compact defenses and you're sort of forced to play one-on-one because there's no room to cut and do anything on the interior. And even those things don't, even when they have the right instinct to not just, okay, fine, we're going to fire threes, it still doesn't work because defenses know they can't hit them. And so until they can hit the threes, or at least long jump, none of this is going to work. I don't see how anything changes.
Yeah. They have to get themselves up to just a competent outside shooting team. Earlier in the season, even when the outside shots weren't falling, they were executing good looks for these shots that weren't falling. So just getting themselves up to a steady 34% from behind the arc reliably, like without something fluky, like this game, they shot 30% rounding up. The guy with the most threes on this team was Russ. He had 3 of them.
Fluky. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Like, it is not a sustainable formula to have Russell Westbrook leading your outside shooting charge. Russ has been good lately from outside. So I'm not trying to disparage what he's been doing. I'm just saying that's not a reliable formula for success. And you can't play Matt Ryan 30 minutes a game because he will get eaten alive defensively and frankly can't do anything else other than hit outside shots.
Correct.
He's a one-dimensional player.
Right. And it's an important dimension, but he's one-dimensional. So let's
talk about it. He should be in the rotation, but
yeah. let's talk about AD. And we'll go there first. We'll talk about AD. We can talk about LeBron. But this AD thing is stark because for the Lakers to win, we've talked about it from the summer on. There's two stars that are, you know, that everybody still puts in that category. LeBron and AD have to be nails every night. And that means all four quarters. And it's not happening right now for Anthony Davis. We'll do that next.
Okay, Locked On Lakers listeners, have you signed up yet for Prize Picks? If you have not, get on it because this is daily fantasy made easy. They have the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. Prize Picks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator. They offer all the superstar players as well as bench players that only get, you know, a few minutes per game. Pick 2 to 5 players, predict whether they'll have more or less in their Prize Picks projections. Lately, if you pick any of the Lakers supporting players, pick less. Less would be the call right now. And Prize Picks, you want to talk about having you covered no matter what sport you're into. They offer projections for NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, boxing, disc golf, Euro basketball, cricket, and more. You can use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries 60 seconds or less. It's really easy, fast, safe withdrawals. So download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, sign up, play daily fantasy sports. First-time users get 100% instant deposit match up to $100 using the promo code Locked On. So if you deposit $100, Prize Picks gives you $100. 50? $50. You can figure out the math from here. It's not complicated. But again, use the promo code Locked On at sign up for the instant match. If you're not playing Prize Picks, you do not know what you're missing.
Okay, Andy. No fourth quarter points for Anthony Davis on Sunday. It has been a long trend throughout this season and going back into last season that Davis starts really strong. The Lakers obviously work hard to get him activated and engaged early, dominating early. His first quarters are typically his best. This may be related a little bit to what LeBron's inability to kind of get things going early in games, but this cannot happen. You cannot have Anthony Davis scoring no points in the fourth quarter and expect to win.
Okay, Brian, let me throw out some stats that I saw on Spectrum Sportsnet, the Access Lakers show that they run after the games. Brian and I, by the way, appear semi-regularly on Spectrum Sportsnet's Lakers coverage. You mentioned Anthony Davis had 0 points in the fourth quarter in this game. The last three games, the loss against Cleveland, loss against the Jazz, win against the Pelicans, those three games combined, how many fourth quarter points do you think Anthony Davis has scored?
9.
Lower.
6.
Lower.
4.
Lower.
Whoa. 2.
Lower.
None?
0. He has 0 points in the fourth quarter of the last three games combined. Let's goose this out a little further. Last three games combined, how many field goal attempts do you think Anthony Davis has? Last three games combined.
5.
Lower.
4.
Lower.
3.
Bing, ding, 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 ding. 2 against the Pelicans, 1 against the Jazz, 0 field goal attempts in the fourth quarter in this loss against Cleveland. Granted, there was some garbage time. Darvin waved the white flag early on, so maybe that's
that much garbage
time. Not that much garbage time, yeah. 0.0. No grade point average. Like, that is... I mean, you had mentioned before that this was somewhat of a thing for AD last season. It wasn't this.
No, like, it wasn't this. Zero. It wasn't this. 0.0 for three games.
Right. And in what is perhaps not an unrelated thing, Anthony Davis opted not to speak with the media after this game. And AD is pretty good about making himself available.
I wish I had any kind of real explanation for this. I mean, Darvin basically said after the game, like, look, AD has permission to scream, you know, for the ball, like, you know, to make himself heard. I do you have an explanation? Do you have a coherent, like, basketball related this? Because honestly, like, okay, fourth quarter projection goes down. It's not even so much the man, he didn't score three shots. Like, how do you explain three shots?
Well, one thing I heard, Derek Fisher, I think, noted this, I want to say post game as well, that, and I think pregame, in terms of talking about AD's lack of fourth quarter involvement, which continued into this game, the Lakers have been playing from behind in these games, which can make it difficult to slow things down, look for Anthony Davis that way. And if their defense, which was not nearly as sharp against Utah and certainly not in the second half against Cleveland, the opportunities to get out and run and hit AD in transition also fall. So in that sense, it starts becoming a little, I don't want to say more understandable, but it becomes, I guess, more plausible why it's happening. I mean, you take a look at the context of these games. You know, teams, when you start becoming more desperate to play catch up, you tend to put up quick shots. Quick shots typically don't end up with your center. So I think contextually there's an element to this. You know, there's also, though, that question of AD asserting himself for four quarters on a consistent basis, which, you know, at his best has been something he's done, but at his worst is not a consistent trait of his.
You know, in the third quarter, for example, on Sunday, part of the Lakers scored, and you, as you pointed out before we came on, the Lakers scored 36 points in the second half. They scored 36 points in the first quarter. The 29 points that Cleveland scored in the third quarter, 27 in the fourth, which included some garbage time, but not that much. A lot of that is bad offense. There were five or six possessions in the third quarter, at least, probably a few more. It's just sort of kind of keeping a loose count, where trash offense led to kind of unstoppable moments defensively for the Lakers, where they just had no opportunity to set a defense, to play any kind of coherent way. And, like, so, I mean, it's really important that people sort of, you know, they're not playing defense. Like, the inability to play offense hurts their defense. And if they can't generate points what you were saying, what maybe Fish was getting at, if they can't generate any offense from their defense, that's also going to make it harder for them to get Anthony Davis involved. But I still don't think that, and I hate these, like, you know, there's no way LeBron isn't going to shoot in the fourth quarter. There's no way, you know, go back to other stars around the league. There's no way that, in, you know, from behind, you know, Donovan Mitchell on Cleveland's not going to shoot the ball. I understand we're talking about guards, wings versus centers. Anthony Davis needs someone to give him the ball. The compact paint makes it very difficult to get space for him, harder to run pick and rolls and all that kind of stuff. It's still something just fundamentally off about it.
Well, Darvin after the game said, you know, something to the effect of, look, we've got an entire playbook with, you know, some sets that are devoted towards Anthony Davis. Like, guys need to slow down. They need to reorganize and, you know, essentially pull your heads out of your keisters and, like, figure out what you're doing.
You said keister.
Yep. They know what they're supposed to be doing, or at least they should, in Darvin's mind.
I went and looked it up just to, you know, double check and make sure I didn't have this wrong. You know how many shots he took in the second half? Two. He finished the first half with 10 field goal attempts. He finished the game with 12. Now, earlier in the season, there have been moments in the season where you're like, okay, I will give him the benefit of the doubt because he can clearly barely walk, let alone run, let alone shoot. But, like, when they're not getting really great performances from LeBron and AD, the focus that goes to the supporting cast is is tremendous. And, you know, we'll set Russ aside here because he's supposed to be somebody who puts up, you know, 15 to 20 a game at the very least. You know, even by, you know, today's standards for Russ, like you still have to kind of pencil him in between 15 and 20 and hope he gets there. Lakers got 12 points from Troy Brown, but it took 12 shots, no free throw attempts. He did hit two of his five threes. He was the only other player in double figures. Kendrick Nunn gave you zero. We've used this little overlay far too many times in this show, 0.0. Kendrick Nunn, you know, gave them literally nothing from a point standpoint. Lonnie Walker, very quiet. He's been had some big games, but he wasn't big on Sunday. Very quiet, 6 points. You got eight from Matt Ryan, a couple of those in garbage, I remember time, I believe. You know, Reeves gave you a point. JTA gave you two. They can't survive on that.
Well, I mean, like, Darvin, after the game, talked about how the supporting cast needs to do a better job, you know, supplementing, as he put it, the big dogs, talking about LeBron, AD, and Russ. And he mentioned Austin and JTA and Nunn by name. And I'm guessing he probably meant everybody other than Troy Brown. Like 12 points from Troy Brown, even if it was on 12 shots, that's a reasonable amount from Troy Brown, especially because
he can't ask for more. Sure.
Right. He's going to be taking a lot of outside shots. One last thing, though, that I thought was interesting on AD before we get to some stuff with LeBron.
Well, yeah, because I want to stick on this thing about what Darvin said about the supporting cast for a second. So, yeah, finish up on AD.
Russ was asked about what he and like LeBron and some of the other ball handlers can do to get the AD the ball more. And like he noted, he wasn't taking this personally, like it was a criticism of him. And he said, like, he tries to make the right reads and tries to get the ball to Anthony Davis when he can. And to be fair, I think Russ does look for AD. And I think does try to, play a two-man game with him. You know, he'll run pick and roll with him. He'll look to find him around the rim. And, you know, it reminded me a little bit, as much as it's a cliche talking about how, you know, big men needed to man the ball. Remember several years ago, you can find this on YouTube. It was a preseason game where Andrew Bynum's in the post and Sasha is bleeping around with the ball around the arc. And Bynum has got this great post position. He's got his arms up. He's doing everything he's supposed to. And finally, he picks up on the TNT mic. You hear Bynum go, "Give me the bleeping ball." And Sasha ends up not giving him the bleeping ball. They go into timeout, and everybody on the sideline is berating Sasha for not giving
the bleeping ball.
Right. And there are some times where it doesn't feel like AD channels his inner Andrew Bynum specifically.
There are the moments that, as much as we love them, like we call the sort of like those pow moments where like he would be criticized for sort of floating through a game and not necessarily doing anything wrong, but it's just like, go be selfish. And he's not an innately selfish player.
Right.
Let's do, at least we should try to talk about LeBron a little bit too, or Russ or something. But this point that Darvin made about the supporting cast is a fascinating one to me. Because I want to ask you a question. Is it fair for Darvin to say that these guys need to step up and produce? So I'll ask you that next. You may remember, Andy, I posed a question to you. When Darvin says these guys need to step up and produce, is that a fair thing to put on this batch of supporting characters, so to speak, on this roster?
Yes. It is fair to expect Austin Reeves to score more than 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
It is fair to expect Juan Toscano-Anderson to score more than a basket. It is fair to expect Lonnie Walker to score more than 6 points. It is fair to expect Kendrick Nunn to score. Like, yes, that is fair. Like, Russell Westbrook outscored the rest of the bench combined, mm-hmm. and I am counting Max Christie's garbage bucket. He outscored the rest of the bench, and Russ didn't even score 20 points. Like, so yes,
Max Christie's garbage bucket sounds like the worst restaurant you could ever possibly go to. but what I mean, special. I agree with you.
It's fair.
It is fair.
They're professional basketball players.
Right. It is fair in the micro. Like when you look at Sunday's game kind of by itself, I don't know if it's fair in the macro. Like when you look at how the Lakers are expected to survive, they've created a scenario in which you are expecting guys who have not been, big time supporting players on good teams to be big time supporting players on a team that wants to go somewhere. So that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, this is a roster issue too. Like, they need Austin Reeves to be significantly better than, he has been throughout his career, and Lonnie Walker to be significantly better, and Troy Brown to be significantly better. Because the difference is, like, Reeves has had a bunch of really nice games, but every one of these guys is sort of being expected to slot up to some degree to where they played over the course of their careers, which, by the way, is why they were available to the Lakers for like $1 million. And so while I think Darvin is correct, I think he is, and he's saying what needs to be said for the long-term prospects of this team. And this, I guess, points to, hey, go make the Buddy Hield deal. Although I guess Russ is playing well enough that it's not a fully addition by subtraction thing anymore. Like, they just don't have enough dudes. And the expectations on these dudes is higher, perhaps, than it's fair to set them.
I don't even know if I agree with that, to be honest, because I don't think Darvin is expecting Austin Reeves to go on a heater and put up 25. He's expecting him, though, to chip in 7. Like, and frankly, the way Austin Reeves has been talked about, and the way people talk about him as a rotation player and, somebody who should be closing. Like, yeah. If Kendrick Nunn is not scoring, I don't know what else you're going to be expecting from him. You know what I'm saying? Like, Lonnie Walker is supposed to be a scorer. Like I think what Darvin's talking about is do your job. Like, do the thing you're actually expected to be doing. I don't think he's expecting anybody to play, above their station. I think he's saying, go to your station. Like, actually man your station, do your thing.
Okay. Look, I'm not here to defend Kendrick Nunn. I mean, when you are Kendrick Nunn, yes, you are expected to do more and need to do more than what he did. Lonnie Walker, I guess what I'm saying, like with somebody like Walker, for example, he's now in a position where it's like, you know what? We need 18, 19, 20 from you every day. And that is not something that Lonnie Walker has ever done. Kendrick Nunn, I have no idea what's going on there. But when you talk about Reeves, it's like, you know what? The little stuff contribution is great. We need 8 to 12 from you every day. And like all of these, so that's what I mean.
I don't know if they necessarily need that much, though. Okay,
maybe it's not every day, whatever. But I think they've created a roster where they are more dependent on people to be better, and more consistently better than they've ever been in their entire careers.
I disagree with that.
Magnified even more if Anthony Davis and LeBron James aren't dominant every night.
I actually disagree with that, because if all of these guys that you're talking about with the supporting cast would just hit three pointers at their career unimpressive averages, a lot of this would be solved. I mean, like,
it would help.
A lot of these guys are underperforming, even by the standards of what you would expect. They're underperforming. Like, break it down in terms of outside shooting alone. Most of these guys are underperforming what are not that high of standards to begin with. So in that sense, I mean, all of them, you could bump that bench scoring collectively together if they would just get to meh. If they would just get themselves to meh from three-point range. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't actually think Darvin's asking these guys to become incredible role players.
I understand what you're saying. And I think there's a lot of credibility to it. I do think my broader point, though, is still true. Like, just, you are asking of some guys on this team a consistent level of production that I think for a lot of them is higher than it's been. And we'll get to LeBron and Russ, I think, maybe, you know, for tomorrow's show, we'll see what happens in Utah. And certainly for Wednesday, the entire league has the day off on Tuesday. So we can dive a little bit deeper into what's happening based on what happens in the Utah game. But LeBron is going through some stuff, it seems.
This was a game where he was more efficient offensively. He
finished 13 of 23.
Right. And he noted after the game that he's not getting referee love, nor does he expect to. He said that last few years he's heard from a lot of officials, hey, missed that call, but he doesn't expect it to ever correct itself. But he was asked an interesting question from our friend Allie Clifton, who works over at Spectrum Sportsnet, used to cover LeBron in Cleveland, about just, you know, how he goes about trying to, if at all, share some of the adversity that he's been through over the course of his career at, you know, while he's with this team right now, dealing with its own adversity. And LeBron said that, you know, every year is its own challenge, but, quote, I know what I can control, but I'm one guy. I control what I can control, but what I can't control, I don't worry about. And went on to say that, you know, he prepares himself mentally, physically, spiritually every night to go out, to go to battle, gives guys energy, tries talking through mistakes, good and bad. You know, he can lean on things he's experienced himself, but they have it. And he's compared it to really trying to explain to his kids what life was like for him growing up in extreme poverty and extreme chaos. And his kids only know life with a private chef and nannies in a gated community with their father, you know, steadily approaching billionaire status. And they're going to look at him like he's got three heads. Like, they're just not going to understand this.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I've noticed in our time covering LeBron is that when he gets into I can only control what I can control mode, that's LeBron speak for I'm getting pissed off by what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and to be fair to LeBron, or to give him credit, he did say the team's been competing every night. Like,
I don't think effort's the issue.
And, you know, I think LeBron is probably savvy enough to recognize I have not been killing it enough to just put these guys on blast. But that is LeBron speak for F if I know what to do, man. Like, I don't know what I can do with this.
I think that gets to my previous point, which is you can't bleed a rock. Ultimately, that's what I'm getting at, is you can't bleed a rock. And I don't mean that these guys can't play better, because they obviously can. I just mean that playing better versus sort of quasi expectations, or, you know, the Lakers expect to compete for at least a playoff spot or whatever, the gap between playing better and what you would need from a supporting cast to get to there is large. And that's before you start to include Anthony Davis and LeBron James aren't doing enough. There's a whole mess of stuff to deal with this week. We'll see what the Lakers do Monday night in Utah. Is the last, the every team in the NBA is playing on Monday night. The league will take off Tuesday, so everyone in the league can go vote. Nobody who watches the NBA or follows the NBA will be distracted by NBA things. We can all go vote. I would encourage everybody to get out and do that themselves, if you haven't already, and many people probably have. But yeah, so the Lakers back on a two-game losing streak after winning two in a row. Panic has re-entered Lakers Nation. It could be three in a row after the Monday game in Utah. Utah is still playing real well, and they spanked the Lakers in LA on Friday. So we'll see what happens. See everybody on Tuesday.